Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Wednesday the 25th of January, Rabbi Yohonas on Geffen, the laws of Midvar Sheker Tirchok.
Good morning. So it says in the Parshas Mishpatim, Midvar Sheker Tirchok, one must distance oneself from falsehood. The context of the Psukim is talking about in Beis Din, in law courts, but all that was shown in the commentaries explained, this also applies in all aspects of life. That there's a real no, that we have to avoid lying. So one very basic question I wanted to ask is the language he uses is midavar sheker tirchok, from a matter of falsehood you should distance yourself. Why doesn't it just say, don't lie, don't say a lie, don't speak a lie? What does it mean, a davar, a matter? That's one question. Another question, I want to give a case. I want to see what we think, whether this case would be within midavar sheker tirchok or not. And that is, let's say somebody phones you up. Let's say they have a right to phone you, you owe them money or something, and you don't really want to speak to them. And they phone you, and your wife picks up, or somebody else picks up, and, you know, they're saying, is your homeless in there? And you don't really want them, and you don't really want them to speak to you. So, but you don't want her to lie. So you tell her, you know what, I'm just going to step outside the house. I'm going to step outside a little bit. So now she can tell them, no, he's not in. He's not in the house. Right? So now, it's true, right? He wants to speak to you, but you've gone out of the house. So now, it would seem that the words are technically true. Now, is that a prohibition in the Midvar Sheker Tirchok or not? So, the Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Aleph, discusses various cases, and this can help us understand these two questions that we asked. It talks about a few scenarios, and one of them is a person's rabbi, his Rebbe, comes and tells him, look, I have a din Torah, I have a case with somebody else who owes me money. Right? You trust your Rebbe completely, you know he's honest, this guy owes me money. But I don't have enough Aiden. So obviously you can't go and testify that you never saw what happened. You can't testify that he owes the money. But what the Rebbe asks you to do is just come with me to the court. This guy is dishonest. He'll think the student can be a talk, can be a aid. He'll think you can be a witness, and thereby he'll admit the truth. Right? The Gemara discusses that case. Without saying anything, all I'm doing is coming with him, and thereby, and I completely trust my Rebbe, thereby, hopefully it will be okay. So is that allowed? The Gemara says, no. That is mitavar sheker tirchok. That is a prohibition of the Torah. So we learn from there, my brother of Yisrael Berkovitz says, we learn from there that lying is not just saying words of falsehood. It's not just what you say. It's a message you convey. That if you are misleading somebody deliberately, you're deceiving them, you're making them think something else, then that is forbidden. That is within the prohibition of Midrash Sheker Tirchok. So now we can answer our questions. The first question is, why does it say Midrash Sheker Tirchok from a matter? So I think the answer could be that it's not just words. It's not just saying something, it's misleading somebody. So even in the case where you're not even saying anything, you're just walking with your rabbi, looking like you can be a witness when you cannot, that is also lying. And that can also explain the question I asked about when somebody phones and you want to step outside the house and someone will say, oh, he's not in. That is midavar sheker tirchok. That is forbidden. Why? Because what's he asking? He doesn't want to know, is your homeless in the house, just outside the house? Is he available to speak? And I am, right? I am available. So by stepping just outside the house doesn't really achieve anything in terms of telling the truth. I'm deceiving him, I'm misleading him.
Can you say not available?
Right. Yeah. Saying he's not available could be allowed. Because saying he's not available is a wider idea. If
not
either.
Yeah, blind. Not to force a blind man to stumble.
Right.
A false comes into it.
Giving bad advice would be disfavored. Maybe, could be. It's more within maybe. It's also more within the Midvar Sheker Tirchok with deceiving somebody. So this is a very fundamental principle he asserted in the Midvar Sheker Tirchok, that it's not just the words that matter. A person could go around saying things that are technically true, but be misleading people the whole time. When we think about it, it's really quite obvious. Let's say you ask your kid, did you do your homework? And he says yes. What he means is he did it last week. You want to know, did he do it yesterday? We all know that's a lie. We all know that's dishonest. That's the first principle. And actually it goes the other way around. Are there any cases, what do I mean? Are there any cases where the words you are saying are not accurate, they're not true, but the message is? Meaning you're not misleading anyone. Is it the other way around? We were talking about so far when the words you are saying are true, but you're misleading someone. Is there any cases where it's the other way around? So I live in Eretz Yisrael. And you may know, if anyone ever been to a simcha there, a wedding there, or something like that, that, you know, you'll see, you know, the chuppah is called for 7 o'clock. And if you get there at 7 o'clock, you'll probably get there before the chasam and kala, right? So often it will start at 8 o'clock. So is that allowed? You know, they know. They're putting 7 o'clock, and they know that 7 o'clock means 8 o'clock. Is that allowed? So assuming that everyone comes from that society, which I'll get to in a moment, that in that area that's the normal thing to do, then that is not a lie. Because we know that 7 means 8. In fact, my love goes further, if you call it for 7, and where everyone knows 7 means 8, and you do the wedding at 7, that might be a little bit of a mitzvah shekatir, because, you know, I don't think you have a minion either. But that is a little bit deceitful. I understand, I got married in England and my wedding was 15 minutes late. So I know in England most weddings are on time. So I tell you, this is a true story, this happened to me. When I was in Israel, a friend of mine got married. And he's a family, he was a friend of mine. Yeshiva, but family friends from England. So my parents got the invitation and they sent it to me. So it said, it says 7 o'clock. So now I'm a punctual guy. So they go, 7 o'clock, that means 7:30, I'll get out early, okay, I'll come at 7:30. So I come at 7:30, it's the middle of the chuppah. Well, what's going on? So I found out, what happened was, they sent two different invitations. In England, it was really 7 o'clock, and that people come at 7 o'clock. In Israel, I think they sent probably 6 o'clock or something like that, and therefore, it's crystal. And therefore, I got the bottom end of it, because I was going with the Israeli times. So it's an important point, obviously, that when anything in society, when you're saying something, you have to understand that people realise what that means. You know, there's many phrases we say, you know, I'll call you in 5 minutes, that might mean I'll never call you back. Or when people leave a message on the answer phone and they say, this is Johannesson, please leave a message, I'll call you immediately. Most of the time we know that. If that's normal, that's understood. It's not necessarily so bad.
About those two invitations, is it true or is it a story?
It's a true story.
It's true.
I can't lie. I'm the person it was is Rabbi Avi Lazarus, who is now what's
received. He checks in the post, because everybody says that.
He checks in the post.
Yeah.
A fundraise, don't say that. Okay, so, fine. So that's the first stage is... Lying, midavar sheker tirchak, is not just the words. In fact, in a way, it's more than the words. It's the message you're conveying. Another example, you know, say harav hagan or something. You know, that can be Mr. Geffen. You know. We know, okay, that's what it means. But you may all have a question, and there's a very big question on what I'm asking. That what I'm saying is that lying is not playing word games. Playing word games, that's not allowed. So you'll ask me from Parshas Toldos. Parshas Toldos, famous, one of the most famous lies, where Yaakov is told by his mother to dress as Esav and to pretend he's Esav. And it would seem that was the right thing to do. What happens there? Yitzchak asks him, who are you? Anochi Esav Bechorcha, he says. I am Esav, your firstborn, which you can't get much more of a lie from that. What did he say? So Rashi says.
It's me.
So Rashi says, what did he mean? What did he mean? Anochi, comma, I am who I am.
Right.
Esav b'chorcha. Esav is your firstborn. But did Yitzchak understand that?
No.
Did he understand that? No. Right?
He said, I call Yaakov.
Well, he had suspicions, but that, according to what I'm saying thus far, that would be a blatant lie. You can play, comma, that's a lie. So how could he do that? According to what I'm saying, how could he do that? What's the answer? Okay. So this is a whole long discussion, but in brief, the commentaries, if you look at the commentaries, none of them, as far as I know, say that this is the reason why it was allowed. That because he said, Anochi Esav B'chorcha, and he meant, I am Yaakov, no one says that's the reason. There's different, there's a machlokes why some of Ushim say it was only because of Nevuah, because Rivka was told and he was told to do it. With Yaakov Kamenetsky, which we may come back to, says that there's certain times you're allowed to lie in order to defeat a con man, to defeat a trickster. Esav himself was a trickster, then it's said it's an Aveira Lishma. It was a sin, but it was Lishma, which is something we don't really have a Musag of. I call upon him, what they all say is it was allowed for various reasons. So that this is not why Yaakov did this. So why did he do it? Why did he say, Anochi Esav B'chorcha? So there's an Orcha Sadiqim that says, even when you are allowed to lie, even when you're allowed, we'll discuss cases where you are allowed, still it is better, if possible, to say words that are technically true. It's better not to say words that are false. Of course, Yaakov Avinu is the epitome of MS as well, which is an interesting side point. But Kamenetsky points out that all of his nisyonos, all of his tests in his life, were lying. All the time, with Lavan he had to lie, with Esav he had to lie, and all the time. And that's to show that even though he's truthful, but sometimes you have to lie L'shem Shemayim, even to lie for the sake of God.
You said defeating a trickster.
Sorry?
Yeah. So why was your first case of the rabbi asking you
that? Right, it's a very good question. Yeah, they discuss why in that case. It could be that there the person isn't really lying. It could be he's not really lying, it's a misunderstanding or something like that. Yeah, they ask that question. It's a very difficult leniency to use. I'm going to come back to it. So, you know, everyone against me is a trickster. Obviously, we have to be very careful with that. So that's the principle is, even though you're not supposed, the lying is not about saying word games, but if you're able to not to say words that are technically untrue, although again, my wife points out, you know, don't be careful with it, because often the Yetzer Hara, the inclination would be the other way around, that we'll say, you know, we want to say things that are a little bit misleading, and that is not correct.
So exaggerating is lying?
If somebody doesn't realise what you mean,
it's misleading. No.
If someone doesn't realise,
how many people would say, oh, there were 100 does it? Must have been 20 then.
If you know what that means, it's okay. If you know what that means, then
you see that you move a lot of times. Really,
so we're going to talk about different kinds of lies. So that's stage one. Stage two is what constitutes a lie that the Torah talks about when it says medivar sheketucha. So the Rishonim, particularly with Ben Yonah, they discuss this, and they make a distinction between two kinds of lie. There's a lie where it affects the other person, but the other person has a right to know. Like the case I gave was when you owe him money, he has a right to know. Right, or with Esav, the lie that affected Esav and Yitzchak very much. That would be a lie that the Torah, is discussing. However, he gives a language of mabakach. A lie that is mabakach means literally, you know, insignificant. What that means is to lie about something where the other person, it doesn't really affect them, or it's none of their business, it's nothing to do with them, or anything like that. That is not prohibited from the Torah. That is not medavar sheketucha. All the Rishonim seem to go with that. I said, is it completely allowed? He says, no, there's a pasuk in Mishle, says, lindu l'shalim medaber mima, that to get into a habit of saying deceitful things, even if they're things that are insignificant, is forbidden. They learn it's a midrabbanan, it's a rabbinical prohibition to say anything, even when you're not really affecting anyone, more ben adam atzmo, between man and himself, to actually say something that is deceitful, it gets into a bad habit. So that is still forbidden rabbinically. However, because it's a much less severe prohibition, and really the actual words are okay, as you mentioned, we see many gemaras and halachas where it's allowed, or very often even obligated, to lie. For example, the Gemara in Bava Metziah, Eilat Metziah, talks about three things that Talmudei Chachamim do lie about, which obviously means they're allowed to lie about. And those three things are in the area of modesty, humility, and kindness. Modesty is involved in his inyanim in his house, he's allowed to lie for that. Humility, the case is when somebody's asking him, how much do you know, how much Torah do you know, he can lie. Now obviously, Now, if he wants to know a question to somebody, he should answer him. But if he's just interested in how much do you know, it's none of his business. It doesn't affect him. So for the sake of humility, you're allowed to lie. And the other case of kindness, or not causing damage, is where you went to someone's house for a meal, you had a nice meal, and there's this guy that you know is a bit of a, you know, he's a good kind of guy that takes advantage, and he asks, you know, how was it? So if you tell him, you know, yeah, it was really, really good, then he's going to come and take advantage of those people. So there you're allowed, it's funny, because it almost seemed like Lachon Hora saying that wasn't very good, but there you're allowed to lie.
Play it down.
Right, to play it down in order to protect that person's kindness. We see another Gemara in Yud Zayin, Ksubas Yud Zayin, where there's an argument, a machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. There's a wedding, and the bride is seemed not so impressive. And there's a question, what should you say? So Beis Shammai says you should just say it how it is, discussing exactly what he means. But a pasha explanation, simple explanation means just say the truth, which is, you know, the brutal truth, even if it's not going to make him feel very good. And Beis Hillel argues and says she's kala rava chasuda, she's very nice, and the Rishonim explain, like I said before, even if that's not the most technically true thing in the world, but you can, you know, there's certain things that are nice about her, there's certain things that are good about her. And Hillel gives a proof that he's right. He said, let's say you go to a store and you buy something, and obviously it's too late now, it's also, you know, it's too late, you can't bring it back, get your money back. You know, I'm wearing this clothes, and you see it, and you're like, yeah, it's not very good. Well, what's the benefit? If I can go back, obviously tell me, but if I can't go back, then he's making me feel bad. And Hillel says that, Shammai doesn't reply, but the halacha follows, as usual, Hillel, Beis Hillel. And therefore, that's another example of, like, to not upset somebody, to not hurt someone's feelings, to make someone feel good, is definitely another example of where it's allowed and even obligated to sometimes to not be completely honest. So again, but these are all in areas, what we call mabakach, areas where it is not going to affect the person. Another very common examples, let's say, you know, someone is on shidduchim, dating, or someone is doing something private. This always happens, you know, I was at yeshiva book, but suddenly you sneak out and, like, you're getting your suits, and they said, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to see a friend, which is also, it could be true, right? You know, go to see family, maybe, might be future family. But there, you're allowed to lie, because it's none of their business really, right? And it's allowed. Obviously, again, if you can avoid saying words that are completely untrue, it's better to do that, but that's another case for your own privacy, you're allowed, for modesty, you're allowed to not hurt other people, or to be kind to other people. I'll give an example of how far this goes, of being kind. I had a story, my love told me a story, that there was a yeshiva bocher, Barav Hutna. He wasn't doing very well, he was struggling, you know, low confidence, and there was a risk of him leaving, you know, drifting away. And they were in a big shir, lots of people there, Rav Hutna was giving shir, and the guy put his hand up and he asked a question, which by all accounts is a very mediocre question. Rav Hutna said, wow, what an amazing question. He milked the question, and the whole week he was saying, you know that question Yankee asked, what an amazing question. Amazing. It wasn't true. Wasn't true. Wasn't so great. But he did it in order to help this boy, and apparently, literally, the words were, it was a Tchias HaMesim, it was a resurrection for him, it saved him. So obviously, times where you're encouraging somebody, where it's going to help them, is definitely a good thing. And this comes to sort of counteract a certain idea, and some people may have, and that is the idea of being brutally honest. You know, the brutal truth. You know, I'll tell the truth, whoever it hurts, whoever it upsets. That's not what we believe. That's not within the boundaries of honesty, because we have a much wider definition of honesty and what that entails. In fact, I mean, that's really what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky is saying, what I mentioned with Yaakov. I was asked before, so what I've said so far is you're allowed to lie for, when it's a rabbinical prohibition of bad habit, you are allowed when it's these certain reasons. Although even there's a Gemara that talks about a case where there was an Amora whose wife would always give him the opposite food. Yes. They'd always give him the opposite food.
Where was it?
I think it's in Sanhedrin, I remember. I remember the food either, but they'd say, she asked for chicken, he asked for chicken, she gave fish. So the son got the hang of it, and he asked for the opposite one day. Right, meaning that the father wanted chicken, so he says he wants fish, so she gave chicken. He says, oh wow, what happens? She gave me the right food. He said, no, you know, I switched it around. So that would be allowed, really, I mean, I think.
No, the father said no,
to our salvation.
One second, that would be allowed, but the father said, you can't do it, because of this pasuk, limdu lashanam, because it's a bad habit. So even when you're allowed to lie on a constant basis, you're allowed to lie, but you should not do it on a constant basis. You should not do it where you're going to get used to it. I'll leave you with a question. I have ideas on this principle, and that is that it says Aaron HaKohen. Aaron would love peace, and what would he do? There'd be two people had an argument, and he would go to one of them and say, you know, he really wants to make up with you, which wasn't true. They go to the other and say, you know, he wants to make up with you, and then they come and they make up. And it sounds very much, and Abbas Rabbi Nassim says this, that he did this on a constant basis. The question would be, how could he do it on a constant basis? So you could say maybe it's because of making peace at a higher level, but you could say that the constant lies in one specific situation, like the situation in the Gemara was one case, and here was different situations, although that's a little bit difficult because it's still a habit of lying, but that's a question to bear in mind. But
you're saying that you're last in life for peace.
No, you're allowed to lie for peace. The question is, on a constant basis, can you lie? We know from Hashem, the Hashem lie, Hashem, so to speak, lied, but with Avraham Masar. So yeah, we learn from there that you're allowed to lie. But back now, what about when it's forbidden from the Torah, when it's Midavashaka Tirchat Midaraisa, are you ever allowed to lie? So the only example I'm aware of is this, what I mentioned before, is when the other person is a trickster, is trying to deceive you. And we learn, like I said, from Yaakov Avinu, in the case with Esav and Yitzchak, with Lavan, he tells Rachel, I'm his brother in trickery, right? That you know, Yaakov, again, is the epitome of MS, and yet he's still going ahead and lying. So with Yaakov Kamenetsky, he says that was why it was allowed for Yaakov to lie to Yitzchak and with regard to Esau, right? That was why it was allowed, because it was fighting someone that is deceitful. But again, it's something one should always ask a question, ask a shayla when this comes up, because you think that guy's being dishonest to you. You think you're being, you know, it's, you know, we all think everyone against us is the other way, and very often it's very, very not simple when one is allowed to lie. And obviously, lying to governments, you know, anywhere is. Apart from dinner, because of dinner, and maybe gezel, stealing, there's also obviously always the laws of Mitavashe Ketucha, is something of lying, something that is a very, very important thing. And just to sum up this idea, it's with Desla really. Desla says that, you know, we're talking about emes, and talking about, you know, what's truthful, what isn't truthful, and he says that the Torah has a wider definition of what MS is, of what truth is, and anything that brings peace, anything that brings shalom, that brings happiness between us and other people, to us and Hashem also, that is within the category of MS, which is why when Hashem lied, so to speak, to Avraham, when Avraham was told he's going to have a baby, and Sarah said, you know, I can't have children and my husband's old, so when Hashem went to Avraham, he missed out the bit that Avraham is old. By the way, he only missed it out. You see from there, that would have been deceitful. It's another proof why I said that would have been deceitful. But that even it would have been, it's just for shalom bias it was allowed. I also want to point out that people come out of this sometimes and think, oh, for shalom bias I'm allowed to lie. You know, like, I had someone once, I gave this shir, and he came to me and he said, you know, you gave that shir, you know, my wife wants me to be on a diet. And I cheated, I broke the diet, I had cake. But, you know, I remember, for shalom bias, I'm allowed to lie. So I don't think shalom bias means getting yourself out of trouble. Right? You have to take responsibility for what you do. It's the case with Hashem is shalom bias of two other people. There may be certain scenarios, again, you'd have to ask, where it might be allowed for the case of the shalom bias of oneself, if there would be an overreaction or something, but that is definitely something that needs to be asked. I just want to end with one final point, and that is, you know, we're seeing that it's not so simple. You have MS, then you have Shalom, and you have, you know, deceiving this person, and it's, you know, in this world, nothing, you could, like I said, you can't be brutally honest. There's an amazing Gemara about this. The Gemara says that there was a man who never lied. And they took him to a place where nobody ever lied, and nobody ever died. And one day, he was in a house, his wife was getting ready, and somebody came, wanted to speak to his wife. And for modesty reasons, he didn't want to say what she was doing, so he said something, she can't, she's doing something else. Because from what we've learned, it was a lie that would be permissible. But after that, unfortunately, sadly, you know, these two people started dying in this place, and they told him, you've got to leave. You've got to leave, you're lying. That's the Gemara, that's it. Very enigmatic Gemara. The Maharal asks, like, where is this place? Where is this place? What is this thing? It's a good question. Who is it? The Maharal says, this is really Olam Haba. This is the next world. Olam HaEmes, as we call it, right? That this man was trying in Olam Hazeh to live a life of pure honesty, pure emes, and therefore he wanted to be completely honest. So they took him, whatever it means, they took him to this place where he was shown that it's impossible. If you're in Olam Hazeh, if you're in this world, it's impossible to lie, to live, to be completely honest, because there's times where you're not supposed to. There's times where you're supposed to sometimes not say the complete truth for the sake of modesty, in this case for the sake of privacy, and that's what it meant. So he couldn't be in a place of the Olam HaEmes. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no contradictions between Shalom and MS and this, and hurting someone or not hurting someone. But Olam Hazeh, we're in a world where it's much more complicated. You have this mitzvah against that mitzvah, this mitzvah against that aveira, and particularly, like I said, in the area of MS, in the area of telling the truth, it's very, very important to, you know, as in everything, to know the halacha, know the laws, know the hashkafa, and to know when you're allowed to lie, when you're not allowed to lie, when it's a mitzvah to lie, when it's not a mitzvah to lie, and to make the shikul, make the calculations of all the different situations we're in. I just want to summarize. So the first principle we said was that midrash ketirchak is not just saying words of falsehood. It's not about the technical words, it's about the message, it's about misleading. If you go around saying things, but you're misleading people all the time, midrash ketirchak, even to the point, as we saw, where a person walks with his Rebbe, that's already midrash ketirchak. And therefore, I like the case I said, if a person has no right to speak to you, does have a right to speak to you, and, you know, you say, step outside, doesn't help. And then we saw that there's two kinds of lies. The lie that the Torah is talking about is where it affects someone else. He has a right to know. And there it's very, very, very hard to ever be allowed, except where he's maybe a trickster himself. And when it's a lesser prohibition of mabakas, of something which is not really his business, is not relevant to him, then in cases of modesty, humility, kindness, not hurting someone's feelings, you're allowed and very often even obligated to do so.
Yeah.